Well, I'd like to greet you all this morning in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning. All right, let me ask us to turn to the passage that was read for us, and that is Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we are focusing our thoughts from verse 25 to verse 34. Matthew and chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. All right, I will read through again, and I am reading from the ESV. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30. "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Let me read verse 33 again. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let us pray together. Our gracious and everlasting Father, we are most delighted to have yet another opportunity on this Lord's Day to gather together, O Lord, as a community of saints, a company of your children, that, Lord, we may commune with you and with one another even as we worship you. Indeed, we continue to recognize your presence among us and the leadership of your Spirit. And now we pray that as we turn to the study of your word, that, Lord, as we yield ourselves unto you, it may please you indeed to illumine our minds and to open our eyes, that, Lord, we may be able to see and learn and understand and take to heart each one of those principles of life that you would like us to learn this morning. May your grace abound upon us, O Lord, both preacher and hearer, and that in all this, Almighty God, you alone will be glorified. Lead us now and guide us through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you actually notice with the very first word that the Lord Jesus Christ begins with in this new section that we have turned to, you actually notice the Lord Jesus Christ begins with the words, "therefore," and clearly showing us that what he is then going to say is connected to what he has said before. And so the passage we are studying comes as a consequence or as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ actually has been saying in the previous section where we were from verse 19 up to verse 24. And as you will recall, that we were studying that section under the theme, the way of true character development. And as you will recall from our previous sermons, our Lord Jesus Christ simply endeavors to do three things. Number one, he defines to us the way of developing true character. And in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is focusing on those things that have eternal value. In the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, it is by laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven. But number two, the Lord Jesus Christ then demonstrates to us the importance of cultivating the right heart in this way of true development. In other words, it is not just the approach that is important. It is not just the way that is important, but that in this process of us developing a character that is true and godly and pleasing to God, even our hearts also matter, and therefore we must endeavor to cultivate the right heart. But further, the Lord Jesus Christ also demonstrates the importance of cultivating the right servitude. The right servitude in this way of true character development. That today in this world there is something actually that in our lives tends to be a competitor to God, and that is money, material wealth, earthly possessions. And the Lord Jesus Christ was able to show us that it is impossible, it is actually impossible for you to be able to serve two masters. In other words, for you to be found in that condition, in that state, where you are actually owned by two owners. So the Lord Jesus Christ says you will either love the other and hate the other, or you will despise the other and be loyal to the other. And then he makes his point, you cannot serve God and money. So in other words, you have to really choose. You have really to decide who is your master, who owns you. Who owns you? Is it money? Is it material wealth? Or is it God? And so the Lord Jesus Christ's encouragement is that if we are going to have a true character, then we must also ensure that we cultivate the right servitude. And the right servitude is where you are actually resolved. You are actually resolved that it is God who is your master. It is God who owns you. Well, in the section we are turning to, and the passage that we have read together, as a way of bringing this subject as a way of the Lord Jesus Christ bringing to conclusion his discourse on the theme of true character development, the Lord Jesus Christ now shows us the need to cultivate the right priority. Yes, you must do it in the right way. Yes, you must have the right heart. And yes, you must have the right servitude. But finally, the Lord Jesus Christ concludes by showing us that you must have the right priority. You must have the right priority. In other words, in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is simply saying that if you endeavor to have a biblical or a godly character, when you make a list of those things that you are to do in a particular day, what stands as first on that list? What stands as first on that list? And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is helping us to be able to see. And so, as Elder Katemba was able to mention for us, the title of the sermon today is The Way of True Character Development, Cultivating the Right Priority. And so, concerning this, Concerning this idea then of cultivating the right priority, just three things I will endeavor to bring to your attention. Number one, it is the exhortation to cultivating the right priority. The Lord Jesus Christ encourages us. He brings us an encouragement. He urges us to cultivate a right priority. But number two, we will look at the reasons for cultivating the right priority. As the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing us this encouragement, what are his reasons? Why should we? And the Lord Jesus Christ will give us reasons. And then lastly, it is the promise. The promise in cultivating the right priority. So that we can be driven and inspired. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us a promise that is there in cultivating the right priority. So let's begin with the exhortation then. The exhortation to cultivating the right priority. And you actually notice that as the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us this exhortation, there are two things that he does. In that exhortation, two things. Number one, he discourages us from worrying. He discourages us from living a life where every day you are filled with anxiety. The Lord Jesus Christ forbids it. He discourages us. That for a child of God, and especially that child of God who is pursuing a godly character, who is pursuing a true character, a character that is a reflection of the very image of God, that we must not be individuals that every day carry the burden of anxiety. Every day you are worrying, and worrying about the things of the world, the cares of this world. So the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, he brings us a discouragement from worrying. Listen to what he says in verse 25a, 31a, and then 34a. And you can actually see the emphasis, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to repeat it so often. Actually shows us the emphasis and the importance and the need for us, therefore, to pay attention to this. So here is what he says. In verse 25, the Lord Jesus Christ says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Verse 31, therefore, do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ forbids us. He forbids us from worrying and worrying about the needs of life. And you can actually see deliberately, the Lord Jesus Christ mentions those needs of life that actually fill up our anxiety. Those needs of life that we worry about each morning that we wake up, we are already worrying. Even when we are going to bed to sleep, we've already started worrying about tomorrow. Examples, the Lord Jesus Christ says we should not worry. I mean, he mentions food. Because he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat. Number two, the Lord Jesus Christ forbids us from worrying about our bodies. He says, about your body, but also even what we are to drink. He says, what you will drink. The Lord Jesus Christ even forbids us further from worrying about tomorrow. So what will tomorrow be? What will happen to us? The Lord Jesus Christ forbids us. He says, therefore, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. So, that's number one. In this exhortation, the Lord Jesus Christ discourages us from worrying. But number two, notice, even as he is discouraging us, the Lord Jesus Christ then encourages us. And I must emphasize, the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us as a matter of priority to trust in God for the provision of the needs of life by simply seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. I'll say it again. He encourages us as a matter of priority to trust in God's provision for the needs of life by simply seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So don't worry about food that you will eat. Don't worry about the clothes that you will wear. Even don't worry about tomorrow. But what should you do? The Lord Jesus Christ says, well, trust in God. Trust in God's provision. And how do you do it? It is by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does he mean? What does he mean? Well, notice three key elements in this segment of the exhortation. Number one, notice that the Lord Jesus Christ says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is that? In other words, that each morning when you wake up, and if you have a to-do list, write on number one, what should be there is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is that? Well, I'm sure from where we are coming from, we already understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind by the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is simply the relationship with God and living according to his standards. That's what it is. That's what it is, to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is simply a relationship with God. And not just relating with God, but actually conforming your life, adjusting your life, making changes to your lives, so that then you begin to live a life that is in accord to the standards of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that the law that governs your life, it is the principles of the kingdom. These principles that the Lord Jesus Christ has been giving us from the time that we started looking at the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning of chapter 5. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind. In other words, that what you are actually pursuing, it is a relationship with God and ensuring that your life, your everyday life, your practical daily living is according to the standards of the Lord Jesus Christ. But element number two, it is the word seek. It is the word seek. The word seek simply means to search for something in order that you may find it. To look for something in order that you may find it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that we must be given to searching the kingdom of God, looking for it in order that we may find it. In other words, that intimate relationship with God, it must be our pursuit. It must be our pursuit, and we will endure, we will be consistent in our pursuit until we find it. But element number three is that word first. First, because it says seek first. So in other words, that before you do anything, what you are bent on doing is seeking. the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, it must be a priority. It must be a priority, as we will see later on. If you wake up on that particular morning and you've made a list of the things that you are to do, number one on that list must be pursuing a relationship with God and living according to his standards. And even in those moments when you find that the list of the things that you are to do are in conflict, and you are made to make a decision between two things, the first thing that you will actually choose, the thing that you will choose, it is simply that relationship with God and living according to his standard. It must be a priority. It must be a priority. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging us here. Don't worry about food. Because, you know, if you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ actually understands our lives, eh? He understands our lives. If you think about it, even to this very day, each one of us, including me, what takes priority on our to-do list? Food, eh? Clothing, eh? Money, in other words, in short, money takes priority. And if you are made to choose between two things, pursuing God, a relationship with God, or to make money, it's money. Someone answered me and says, "According Zadia Church." "According Zadia Church," I said, "Yeah." Anyway. So the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us. He brings an encouragement, an exhortation for us to cultivate the right priority. In that exhortation, there is a discouragement. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about what you will wear. Don't worry about tomorrow. Instead, what do you do? He says, make your search, make your pursuit of a relationship with God and his righteousness your priority. It must be number one on your list. You know, it is actually sad that for many of us as children of God, on our list of the things that we must do, even just our budget, when you are budgeting, when your budget is crowded with too many needs that what you are getting can't kind of meet up, the very first thing that will suffer is what? Anything that has to do with God there suffers. Tithe, next month. Offering, next month. Lord's Day. Churchy, come extra, what do they call it, overtime? Come, overtime, there's like a project here, church, next week. If Pastor Sakarunda was teaching Bible study, he's busy now making phone calls. Elder Tembo, are you available? How come he's not answering? Elder Tembo, how come? Please, could you, I know that it is last minute, but please, a favor, can you lead the study for me? Your priorities are not right. Your priorities are not right. But why? 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 You are probably now looking at me. Why? Why should we cultivate the right priority? Why are we encouraged to cultivate the right priority? So that's my second point. Notice that from the second part of verse 25, going all the way to verse 34, our Lord Jesus Christ gives us seven reasons. Seven reasons as to why we should not worry about the food we eat, why we should not worry about the clothes we wear, why we should not worry about tomorrow, and why that we should be, our priority must be to pursue a relationship with God and the standard of living that is according to his law. Seven reasons. Reason number one, your life and body are more important than food and clothing. Your life and body are more than food and clothing, more important, more worth, in other words, than food and clothing. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ says this in verse 25b. He says, it is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. Is not the body more important than clothing? We should not worry about food and clothing because God cares for life itself. That's the point that the Lord Jesus Christ makes here. God cares for life itself, which encompasses food and clothing and all the rest. If God cares for the greater thing, as we will see, the greater thing, which is life as a whole, then he certainly cares even for the lesser things, those constituent parts that make up life and help us actually to be sustained. And so our worry actually is unnecessary, because remember, who is in charge? Who is in charge of life? Who is in charge of history? Who is driving history? Who is sustaining? Who is sustaining life? It is God. And so in God sustaining life, will he neglect to give us food? Will he neglect to give us the clothing we need? Will he neglect to take care of tomorrow? So reason number one, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us, look, your life is more important and your body is more important. And why? Because those things, it is God who cares for them. And if he's the one who cares for them, he will ensure. It is his responsibility actually to ensure that even those things that life needs, even those things that the body needs to be sustained, God provides. You know, it's like in our home, I find my son Benjamin is busy staring at the ceiling in the night, 02. And I ask him, what's going on? My son is thinking, Dad, I'm thinking tomorrow, what are we going to eat? Well, it is not your responsibility, is it? I'm the one who must chisel and look at the ceiling and think about me and my, we are the ones who must do that, not so, not him. No, I'm thinking, tomorrow, I don't know where I'll get my clothes to wear. Apparently, they've been eaten by dogs. They have a tendency of leaving clothes outside. When you wake up in the morning, the dogs are feasted on them. No, it's not his responsibility. Us, the parents. And it's the same with, that's the point that God is making. I am the one that takes care of life. I am the one that takes care of the body. So your food, your clothing, your tomorrow, leave it to me. Leave it to me. But we will see. We will see further on, the Lord Jesus Christ will expand on that. Reason number two, you are much more valuable to God than the lesser of creation. You are much more valuable to God than the lesser of creation. In other words, look, if you look at Genesis and chapter 1, and all those things that God created, the first day he creates light, and everything that he created, finally on the sixth day, God creates man. Of everything that God created, who is the apex of creation? Who is the peak of creation? Who is the climax of creation? Who is the most important in his creation? Sorry? Man. It is man. And so, if God is able to take care of the lesser elements of creation, if he is able to take care of them and sustain them, how much more you? How much more you? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ puts it this way in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, the flowers of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O little of faith? Reason number three, you accomplish nothing by worrying. There is futility in anxiety. You accomplish nothing actually by worrying. There is futility in anxiety. Listen to verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Well, I'm yet to meet you. If there is one, I'm yet to meet them. That after worrying, actually, you sit, you worry, and when you finish, you find that your height has actually increased by a few centimeters. Or that your lifespan, your lifespan has actually increased by a few years or a few. I'm yet to meet such a person. You accomplish nothing. You will worry to eat you up. Nothing. You are just wasting your time. That's what the Lord Jesus will say. The point is that worry cannot accomplish not even a little thing. By worrying, we cannot add an hour to our lives, and we cannot lengthen our lifespan. So what's the point then? Number four, the pursuit of the needs of life is unworthy of you who are children of God. Or let me express it in another way. The pursuit of the needs of life is not fitting to a child of God. It's not fitting. It doesn't suit you. The pursuit of these needs of life, as a child of God, it doesn't suit you. Listen, Jesus Christ puts it this way in verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things. So how different, and by the word Gentile here, the Lord Jesus Christ is not referring to the way the Jews use the word Gentile to refer to anyone who is a non-Jew. The Lord Jesus Christ now uses it to refer to anyone that is not a child of God, anyone that is still heathen, anyone that is still a pagan. The Lord Jesus Christ says those are Gentiles. And he says this kind of living, That is what characterizes those who are outside there. So you who is a child of God, how different are you from them? Because these are the things that they are doing. These are the things that the Apostle Paul expresses it this way. Listen, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 32, he says, you know, there are people who are driven by this principle in life. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we what? For tomorrow we die. So it's like what drives you? It's simply the pursuit of material things, of these things of the world. Because after all, tomorrow we will die. So let's enjoy them now. Because that's what there is to life. It is the pursuit of these things, money and all this pleasure and all these. For tomorrow, we die. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says, no, that kind of life doesn't suit you as a child of God. It's not fitting for you. Leave it to those who are outside. Leave it for pagans. Leave it for non-believers. Reason number five, your heavenly Father knows your needs. Your heavenly Father knows your needs. Verse 32b, and he says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. Look, friends, this is even just simple logic, common sense. Doesn't God know that you need food to eat? Doesn't he know that you need clothes to wear? Doesn't God know that, tomorrow must come? Doesn't he know? He does. And so why do we worry? Why do we beat ourselves up? Why carry anxiety when we know the God who has invited us into this relationship, he knows all these things. And so Jesus Christ says, don't worry. Don't. You know, the what's the shortest verse in the shortest verse in the Bible? Dr. Kaina? By the way, Kaina, we are still debating because she says she wants to be a doctor. So I ask her what kind of a doctor, because there are several kinds of doctors. There's which doctor? So we have not yet decided. But she hinted, she says veterinary. So we are still thinking. Kaina, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? Very good. John 11:35, eh? Jesus, see? Wept. You know that I've listened to many sermons about that verse. And you know, many people have it wrong. Eh? Why did Jesus weep? Because he loved Lazarus? No, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't. And why? It is because Jesus was told, the one you love is sick. Not so. He delays. Why? Even tells his disciples, we are supposed to go, but we will not go at this particular moment. By the time he goes, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And then he arrives like the way we arrive at funerals. They say, my way, Lazarus. No, it doesn't make sense. He knew what he was going to do. Even told his disciples, it is good that Lazarus' death has happened whilst we were not there, so that when we go, the Son of Man will be glorified. So when he says Jesus wept, it is not because it was not because Jesus shed tears out of the love that he had for Lazarus. No. The reason is very simple. You remember when he arrives, the very first accusation by Lazarus' sister, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would have not died. He arrives at the funeral, all the Jews are looking at him and say, look at him. He raised someone there from the dead. He healed someone there from the dead, and this one he has failed. So here is life standing in their midst. Eh? Because remember, he even tells Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and life. So here is life, and yet people are still crying. They are still mourning disbelief. So those were tears of disappointment. Here I am. I am life. And yet people still don't recognize me. So that disappointment, it hurt him to the point that he shed tears. And you see, my point is, look, sometimes that's the way you and I behave. God, our Father, knows our needs. But yet what do we do? We act as if he doesn't. You are busy worrying. But God tells you, look, I got it. I'm in control. But yet we don't. Reason number five. Eh? Ah, very good. You are very attentive. Reason number six, tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Why should I not worry about tomorrow? Jesus Christ says, no, let tomorrow worry about itself. Verse 34, he says, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for it. It is not your responsibility to worry about tomorrow. After all, you are not even the one that will bring tomorrow, about. You are not the one who is going to bring it. You have no power whatsoever to either delay tomorrow or to bring it. You have no power. Whether you like it or not, tomorrow we will come. And whatever tomorrow comes with it, God has already determined. And you see, that's the deception of many prophets today. So they will tell you, come, because I will tell you your future. So if he tells me I'm going to die tomorrow, so what happens? I run away. There is a woman who was told, your son is going to die tomorrow. So what she did was she put her son on a leash. Wherever she went, to the toilet, she goes with him, makes sure she ties the son on the leash to the post of the toilet. She goes into the bathroom. Slavery. So what happens? You are going to avoid that coming. If it's coming, it's coming. Eh? There's nothing that you will do about it. And that's why that part of life, God has, he hasn't made it privy to us. None of us should know when we will die. Because it is his responsibility. It is him to worry and not you and me. So, Jesus Christ says, let tomorrow worry about itself. Number seven. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34b says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We should not worry about tomorrow because we can stay busy. We can stay busy enough attending to the tasks and troubles of the day. I mean, just look at the way busy, how busy your day would be. Imagine. And then added to that, you put anxiety and worry on it. Jesus Christ says, look, you already have enough. You already have enough. When we live in the tomorrow land, when you live in the tomorrow land, we can worry over our failures or dream about our triumphs. Both can distract us from the goal of living for the kingdom in the present. In other words, that you can be sent off course, actually. You are thinking, oh, what will I be tomorrow? And you worry, 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 worry. Will I win or lose? Will I have money or not? You know? It takes your time. It takes your time. Instead of you now worrying about the present and especially how you should live in regard to the kingdom of God, you have other things that have taken, that are now taking your time. So church, Jesus Christ says, don't worry. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about tomorrow. And why? There are seven reasons that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. Seven reasons as to why you shouldn't. But lastly, notice there is a promise. The promise in cultivating the right priority. The promise. So we've looked at the exhortation, the encouragement, the exhortation. We've looked at the reasons. And now here is the promise. Listen to verse 33. The Lord Jesus Christ says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And why should you? Why should you make it a priority? Why should it preoccupy you? Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a promise there. He says, all these things will be added unto you. All these things, food, clothing, tomorrow, as long as you have pursued a relationship with God and are living according to His standards, all these things will be added unto you. That's a promise. And you see, all that you have to do, it is to simply trust. To simply surrender. Surrender it. You know, us as a family, we have actually learned this one. Life is living a day at a time. That's what life is. We have learned it. So even when budgets are not meeting, things are not adding up, these things are not adding up, no stress. No worry. God Himself will sort it out. And here we are, Tim, 21 years. 21 solid years. Have there been struggles? Yes. But in those struggles, God has helped us to pull through. There is a promise. Pursue the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So that phrase, seek first the kingdom of God, it must be our ideal. It must be our ideal. That phrase, seek first the kingdom of God, it must be our commission. Seek first the kingdom of God. It must be our contract. For every one of us that are children of God, that ought to be our ideal. It ought to be our commission. In other words, those are our marching orders, to use a military term. And it must be our contract. It must be something that binds us to God. And Jesus Christ backs it up with a promise. We can afford to seek the kingdom first because God will give us all things that the pagans chase after. As we have noted in the 15th, in the fifth reason, as we have noticed 32b, our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. Actually, there is a verse that says, even before we kneel down to pray, God knows. Not so? Yes. God knows. So don't worry. Don't worry. But let's conclude. How should we then live? How should we then live in view of this teaching about cultivating the right priority? Well, most definitely, our text is a deeply reassuring and challenging passage from our Lord Jesus Christ, emphasizing trust in God's provision. We must trust. We must have faith. We must be convinced. We must be confident that God will provide no matter what. God will provide. And therefore, it is a call for us to live free of anxiety and especially over material needs. It's a call for you and me to live free of those. And so, here are eight, and I'll be quick with this. Here are eight practical application points to take away. Here are eight things that I would like us to take away from this as we conclude. Number one, shift your focus from worry to worship. In other words, how should we live? How should our conduct be? In view of this, how should our conduct be? How should our attitude be? Well, number one, in those moments when you are tempted to worry, Turn your worry into worship. Jesus Christ says, do not worry about your life. Replace anxiety with adoration. When worry arises, choose to respond with prayer and praise. Cultivate a habit of starting your day with a thanksgiving to God instead of stress. And the reason you are starting with a thanksgiving is because you are convinced that no matter what comes in this particular day, God is in control. God is on the throne. God is in charge. So no stress. And like the children of Israel were, after the Exodus, after one month, they've already forgotten about their slavery in Egypt. Just take a single challenge. Hey, Moses, take us back. After all, we were seated eating meat in Egypt. Where? So God gives them memorials. Memorials. Passover and all these things. So that they can be reminded of God's provision and care. Imagine for 40 years, this child is coming out of Egypt, 5 years old. For 40 years, the same shoes and same clothes. That's how it was. You are growing, your shoes and your clothes are also growing with you. And they were meant to carry a jar of manna in the Ark of the Covenant so that they can be reminded of God's provision. So instead of worrying, worship God. Worship God. That's number one. Number two, trust in God's proven track record. Trust in God's proven track record. You see, look, this God whom you have chosen to follow now, it is not his first time to deal with man. It is not his first time. He has a proven track record. You can look at history. And you can see how God has been able to come through for his children. Even people around you, relatives and friends, church members, there are those to whom God has been able to come through. Look at their record and learn from them. But see, the Lord Jesus Christ is challenged in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at them. Who takes care of them? It is God. So consider how God provides for nature, which doesn't labor like we do, yet lacks nothing. Reflect on your own testimony. How many times has God seen you through? How many times has God come through for you? Trust in God's proven track record. You already have a testimony. Paul says to the people in a city called Lystra, he says, God has not left himself without witness. And what is the witness? He gives you rain in due season and harvest in due season so that you may eat and be satisfied. There's one pastor from RCZ that I heard preach. He says, even mukaenda kuma wedding, paja pamene mkudia mpunga, na nkuku, na kumwa Fanta, Coca-Cola, kumbukirani kuti mulungu, aliko. In other words, that even when you sit, you are feasting and eating on rice and chicken and enjoying Coca-Cola and Fanta, all that, remember, is a testimony of God's provision. Number three, embrace your worth in God's eyes. Embrace it. You are much more important. Remember, man is the apex of creation. Man is the climax of creation. Look, God did not start, first of all, by creating Adam and Eve, and then he says, oh, my way, sit here. You guys don't have where to stay. Hey, even the food to eat, even water to drink. Okay, sit here. Let me take care of it. No, he didn't. He first of all created the abode for man. When everything that was needed for man's sustenance was created, then he creates man. You are important than snakes, than birds, hyenas. More important. And God, if he is able to take care of those, how much more you? How much more you? Verse 26b, the Lord Jesus Christ says, are you not much more valuable than they? In other words, the birds, the lilies of the lilies in the field, are you not much more important than they? Number four, recognize the futility of worry. Recognize the futility of worry. It is empty. It is a sheer waste of time to worry about anything. 27, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And you know the deception of the world? The deception of Satan in the world is that, well, if worry is futile, perhaps the bottle is the answer. Not so? So you go, you drink your misery, you will forget at that particular moment. But when you wake up, you still find them knocking on your door. In fact, even now multiplied. You go back, drink, come back, you still find them again multiplied. Next, you are now thinking of suicide. Jesus Christ says, look, it's futile to worry. It's futile. Don't. Okay? Don't. Assess, examine, analyze how much time and energy you lose through worry. And yet at the end of it, what do you gain? Nothing. Better invest. Use that time for something more useful and productive. Number five, learn from the beauty and simplicity of creation. Learn from the beauty and the simplicity of creation. Even the richest guy in the world, Solomon, the Bible shows us he was not as well arrayed as the flowers are in the field. Verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, see how the flowers of the field grow and how arrayed they are. Not even Solomon. So that should convince us. That should, look, if God can array them that way, and yet today they are here, tomorrow, I mean, think about it, you and me. I'm sure you've never thought about this. When we are burying, when it is time to lay wreaths, we buy those rose flowers. They are quite expensive, not so. But imagine, immediately before you leave, what do you do? What are you advised to do nowadays? Break them. Why? No, because someone will come and steal. But imagine you have spent a lot of money just for something that you will do in a few minutes. But you are more important. More important, more beautiful than those. Number six, live with kingdom priorities. Live with kingdom priorities. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 33 has told us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Prioritize spiritual pursuits over material concerns. Evaluate your schedule, your finances. Evaluate your goals. Are they kingdom driven? A friend of mine runs a business, and I mean, he's a Christian, well-respected Christian. I asked him a question. I said, but you are a Christian. Why do you open your shop on Sunday? He gave me a very simple answer. He says, Pastor Collins, it's because of all the days, Sunday is the one where we make money the most. And I told him, but you see, that should be a rebuke. What has God said about the Lord's day and the Sabbath? So should money now begin to dictate? Should money now begin to determine our lives? Is that not a clear manifestation that we don't trust in God's provision? Try him. Try him. Try him. See, for you and me, this is actually a call to examine ourselves. Test your priority. What is your priority? Like I said in the beginning, in those moments when you are made to choose between God and money, when you are made to choose between spending your time for something that has to do with God and something that has to do with money, what do you choose? And see, look, the question of whether you need money or not is not there, because we have established that, not so. God has already said that all these things will be added. So what's your problem? And you see, you remember the discipline of the Sabbath? We talked about this. Look, God is generous. He's not saying, give me all your time. 7 days, out of those 7 days, how many days should you give to God out of the seven? Just one. And even that one day, you have a problem. Even that one day, you want to have 6 days. God has been generous and gracious. He has given you 6 days. He says, in these 6 days, labor, work to provide for yourself. But that just one day, give it to me. You have a problem. Service is just 2 hours. You also have a problem with it. First, you come late. Not so? And when you have come late, see? So like right now, you're already looking at your watch. When is it finishing? Because you've already made plans. Are you being fair with God? Are you being fair? Let's not be like those in other circles. I'll not mention names here. There is now cyberbullying. Not cyberbullying. What do they call it? Cyber what? Cyber law. There is now cyber. So we don't mention names. Where they've even put church service where number 05 to 6, so that you go 6 hours ikasila, then you have the rest of the day to do what you want. There is even a special service. If you can't manage Sunday, Friday, there is a special one. You attend the Friday one. Then Saturday and Sunday, if you disappear from home, you only come Sunday morning, Monday morning, ready for work. No. Let's be fair, friends. Let's be fair. God has given you 6 days, and he only demands one day. And that one day we must fight with God. So, live with kingdom priorities and leave the rest for God to take care. Number 7, practice daily dependence. Practice daily dependence. Do not, in verse 34, Jesus Christ says, do not worry about tomorrow. Let us take life one day at a time. One day at a time. God's grace is for today. As God's children, let us focus on present obedience and trust God for what lies ahead. There is that song that we sing. There's that song. God is... you remember that hymn? How gracious is now we are done. There's a line in there, not so? Maybe let me read it to you. There's a line there. Sorry? What's the number? Yes. It's 571. So 571, listen, there's a line there. It says in stanza 2, 'tis Jesus the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us self home. We will praise him for all that is past, and then we will trust him for all that is to. Let me end with an appeal. Anyone in our midst, you are not yet a child of God. You are not yet a Christian. We pray that you can see the privileges that come by being a child of God. Now, see, I was asked a question one time, Elder Tembo may not remember this. We were doing some counseling to a certain couple, and we were talking about the importance of pursuing God genuinely and experiencing genuine conversion. And so there's a statement that we made, and so this lady says, okay, so do you mean that God doesn't hear the prayer of the unrighteous? He doesn't hear the prayer. When they pray, he doesn't hear them. And you see, our answer was, well, God makes it very clear. Not so. And actually, it was a comment in James 5, where he says, the prayer of the righteous avails much. See, the relationship with God makes a difference. The relationship with God. Because you become a child of God. And because you become a child of God, you have the right. And not only do you have the right, you have the privilege to be able to call him Father. And God has the joy to be able to hear you. And as long as you are asking within the bounds of his will, God is delighted to answer. Because the very first thing that God wants of you, before you can pursue, before you can ask him of anything, the very first thing that God has said that you need to do is to pursue an intimate relationship with him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, make right your relationship with me first. Then when you make your relationship with me right, when you make it right first, then you will have the privilege to ask me and I'll have the joy to answer you. But what do we do? We all usually want to approach God on our own terms. Not so. Not on your terms, God, but on our terms. But who knows better between the two of us? Between God and you. Who knows better? So the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ makes a difference. Hear his word. Receive him. Believe in him so that you can be afforded that right to be called a child of God. So that then you can enjoy the privileges that come with it.